message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we thank you. Can we just lift our hands and just worship him and just thank him for his goodness, for his mercy? They are new every morning. The Bible says, if the Lord counts iniquity, we shall stand. So we thank him for his blood. Thank him for his goodness, for his mercies. They are new every morning. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's celebrate the music when he starts as a global Christian. Thank you so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, my heart is opened, my mind is illuminated, I receive revelation in the knowledge of God, the eyes of my understanding is enlightened. The word of God that I hear today bears forth fruit in me. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Right, please let me shake the person next to you. Tell them you're welcome to church while you take your seats. God bless you. Welcome them to church. They're so glad to see them all. God bless you. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. All right. All right, we're going to continue the message we began last 3 weeks, titled The Faith Book of Records. So let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. I'm just seeing myself on the screen. All right. Revelation 5. All right, let's pray. Let's pray again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because your word is true, your word is life, your word is eternal. As we receive your word today, we ask that your word does an internal and eternal work in our hearts and will bring forth fruits of righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a lot to share with you this morning, and I'm going to continue the teaching series we began titled The Faith Book of Records. So let's open our Bibles to Revelation 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So without much theological explanation of what this book could actually mean, all right, but something very important that you all agree is that this Bible text clearly tells us, all right, how important this book is to the destiny of mankind. All right. So now, Apostle John had a revelation into the throne room, all right, and he saw something that was, you know, marveling, all right. So a challenge was thrown at humanity. And don't forget, we're talking about throne room. That means it's the challenge is being thrown, therefore, to time past, time now, and time to be, because this is eternity. Say a loud amen. Amen. All right, so a challenge was thrown to humanity, and it turns out that none of all of humanity in all of creation, the challenge was thrown, and none was worthy, none had the power to open this book. Think about that. You know, there's a man called Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, all right, is the former Secretary of State, United States. Now, he lists 7 most powerful people in the history, and he mentions Julius Caesar, King Shi. King Shi was one that conquered the enemies that established Chinese, all right, since 221 BC, before Christ. You have Peter the Great, you have Mahatma Gandhi, Napoleon Bonaparte, and then you have Theodore Roosevelt, then American president since 1945. All right, so you know, because America has, you know, they have the arsenal of weapons for mass destruction and economic power, so that make them indispensable element for both peace, all right, and progress. Praise God, for example. I mean, you know, as it is right now, a particular nation cannot threaten
to do something wrong or terrible to another nation, once America gets involved, because they have nuclear weapon, all right, so that gives them relevance in the scheme of things. Amen. So Henry Kissinger mentions American presidents since 1945 to date as one of the seven greatest human that ever lived. Now think about this. As important and as respected as these individuals are and were, I mean, they still did not make it to the Book of Life's power. They didn't have enough power to actually open this book. Because see, when the challenge was thrown, when John saw this revelation, when the challenge was thrown, he was talking to humanity, all right, at all times. This is not some, okay, maybe before Christ or after Christ, at all times. So now that tells you that, therefore, the yardstick for the greatness of anyone who opened this book had to be different from the world system of measuring greatness. Are you following? Because I just mentioned seven great men now that were mentioned, and there are several great men that have lived. Philosophical great men in theology, all right, of, you know, several religion, but none had such power to open the book. Then in verse 5, he says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So John was there weeping, all right. And then, you know, I see, as he was weeping about how that none in all of human history could open this book. While he was there weeping, one of the elders came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Listen, don't cry anymore. All right, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." Now, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. So now, when he said the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened the book, what he was trying to communicate to him was that, listen, notice the Bible says, look, I go to verse 5. Verse 5. He says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." So now, that gives us an idea that what qualified whoever was being explained of here, which is Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus, all right, whoever this person was must have prevailed to open the book. All right, so when he called him Lion, it doesn't mean Jesus is Lion. All right, it's just a metaphoric expression of how he exerted his strength, his power, enough to open the book. And while John was going to look back to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah that prevailed, guess what he saw? Look at verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo," that means, "lo" means like alas, like wow. Like I beheld, and lo, like wow. Guess what I saw? "In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes." Listen, a lamb as it has been slain, that depicts redemption. In other words, the proof of his power that made him Lion was the fact that he's the Lamb. In other words, the greatest powerful expression of any kind since history, in time past and in future, was seen in redemption. So that means the greatness of this man called Jesus was shown to us by the redemption story. So that means, now, you know, I told you that this teaching was like a throw along concept to the Guinness Book of Record. All right. That means just as people strive to have their name in Guinness Book of Record for the great achievements that they have, in the same vein, all right, this man has set a standard for us that proves to us, therefore, that greatness, therefore, can never be anything physical, so to say, in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. Greatness has to be the things that you do that support or that is in relevance to redemption story. Praise God forevermore. So anyone whose great feat would be mentioned in God's faith book of records will be things that they did relevant to God's salvation plan for humanity. I've told you this before, and I'm going to say it a billion more times, that God is God-centered. He has one purpose for mankind: salvation. So you can only be relevant in the scheme of things to the degree in which that which you are doing at the moment supports God's salvation plan. So, for instance, in Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I showed you last week, I said, the hope here in context is the hope for salvation. They were hoping for salvation. And faith is defined here as the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. That means faith is whatever substantiates your hope. And that means these people had their name in God's faith book of record because of the things that they did relevant to God's salvation plan. So, in verse 2, he says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. That means their report card features deeds of faith relevant to God's salvation plan. That means, for instance, you're going to university, we only count in God's faith book of record to the degree in which it supports salvation plan. Your car, that you bought a car, is going to be relevant to God, or is going to be one of the things that you achieved in God's faith book of record to the degree in which it affects salvation plan. Someone say, how does that affect salvation plan? Excuse me. If you park people from church to a village to start evangelism with your car, that car is relevant to God because it is relevant to salvation plan. So God has just one purpose, and you are only living purposeful to the degree in which the things you do daily support that salvation plan. He says, it will have all men saved, that none should perish. The Bible says that this is the will of God, that it will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is God's plan. Hallelujah. So in that Hebrews 11 in verse 30, he says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. I told you, I said, so Abraham sojourned. So his sojourning is written as a great feat in faith because his sojourning was relevant to salvation plan. Come on now. Abel's sacrifice, so his sacrificial giving, all right, was relevant to salvation plan. Look at another woman here, all right. The Bible says, by faith, in verse 31, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies, all right, with peace. So Rahab was a harlot, yet she is in faith book of records because she contributed to the preservation of the spies. Otherwise, look, they will have captured those two guys, traced them back to their camp, killed all the Israelites, and there wouldn't have been the Messiah. Because it has pleased God that the Messiah was going to come from the tribe of Jesse. Glory to God. Let me just do a simple brief commentary. Give me Joshua 2, 22 verses I'm going to read. Joshua 2 from verse 1. Give it to me quickly. Let's look at something here. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out the Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and they came into an allotted house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, Rahab was living on the fence. You can guess how big the fence was that somebody built a house on the fence. It's not all this world. So when they said the wall of Jericho fell down, don't start thinking of all this normal fence that your father put in, you know, to cover your house, to fence your house. One coach of block. That's not the fence. The fence was big enough that somebody built a house on it. So when the Bible says that Jericho fell, all right, even if it fell, the falling down is still high enough to be a fence. So you have to understand that what happened when the Bible says they shouted and Jericho wall fell, it was a miracle. In other words, the walls literally imploded and was sunk in. Earthquake, the head swallowed it. So the Bible says this man, this girl called Rahab, she lodged on the fence of the house. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in Judah to the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the land, all the country. So Rahab, all right, she's a professional harlot, all right. So she had guys, they would, all right, she does aristo. That's what I'm talking about. So the king, they know her in town as a street girl. So the king, all right, of Jericho was like, all right, let's go and ask her. Those men that came, those ones are not customers, so they came to spy the land. So, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Verse 5. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, because at 6 p.m., they normally shut the gates. Even in Jerusalem, they will shut the gate. For example, when Jesus said, it is easier for a needle to pass, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. The eye of a needle there, all right, is a small door that they will open after 6 p.m. for those that are coming back from business. When it is 6 p.m., they will shut the gates. So you can only pass through that eye of a needle. That eye of a needle is a small hole in the fence where only one person can enter at a time. As you are putting your head, somebody is out there on the other side carrying you. So your camel too that you use in doing business when you come back too will only enter one at a time. And it's very difficult. So you're not talking about the eye of a needle like, you know, this. So some people, do you understand what I'm talking about? All right. So, and it came to pass, so they locked the gate. When they're about to lock the gate, the men went out. Without the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. This is Rahab. She has hid those men in the roof. Now she's telling those soldiers, look, those men that came, they've gone, we'll pursue them. Let's go, verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fort, and as soon as they wished, pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gates. Verse 8. And before they could lay down, she came up unto them upon the roof where she was hiding them. And she said unto them, unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Hallelujah. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Don't forget what I shared with you last week, that they were looking for a city. All right, that city is salvation. He says, and she said unto them, that I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Glory to God. When ye came out of Egypt, and that ye did unto the two kings of Amorite that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Listen, does this woman believe? Look at verse 12. He says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Now, listen, pay attention to verse 13. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that have that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord had given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord. Her house was on the fence. Do you understand? The gate has been shut. So she let them out with a cord out of the city. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Look at verse 16. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterwards, may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land. Now, listen to this. I want you to read this. Listen to this. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet. Oh, so fracky, tell me. Scarlet thread. Red. You say, in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. Listen, this is salvation. So when they come to, all right, to besiege the city and kill everybody, what will save anyone was, look, if the whole city entered into Rahab's house, they would have been saved. Listen, after that, the Bible was, see, these are teachings in symbolism. All right. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, And it shall be that whosoever, can you see? Whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on your head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou alter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Verse 21. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So everybody will be seeing scarlet, and they'll be like, this woman, a crazy woman, be this. Anyway, she be a shadow now. So, waiting. But that was the salvation. Oh, glory to God. Do you remember when they were going to leave Egypt? That day they left Egypt. The lamb they killed, they put it on the lintel of their house. So that the death angel was coming. Once death angel sees the blood, it will pass over. These are teachings in symbolism. So Bible tells us in the book of John 5, 24, 25. It says that we that we have believed, we have passed from death to life. Can you see that? So he says, and they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And verse 21. He says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the allot house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, and as ye swear unto her. 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of the brass of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's house and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even until this day. Hallelujah. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out. So now, listen. That scarlet that she kept was her salvation. Hiding the spies was a faith deed consonant to the salvation plan of God. So now Rahab is in God's faith book of record for a deed of hiding the spies. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Look at verse 32, Hebrews 11. He says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Say loud amen. Wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised back to life again. See, listen. Oh, but I told you we'll get to heaven. This book is not finished yet. There are still some of us whose good deeds are being recorded. Glory to God. He says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Listen, that means one of the reasons why these folks were a little bit reckless with their life was because of the hope of resurrection. So, I've told you that Christianity is not a religion of, alright, self-preservation. It's about throwing yourself completely to the furtherance of the gospel. It's going to cost you sleep. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. I've told you last week that it's all about sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice for the propagation of the gospel. And I showed you, all right, how that for the Ark of Covenant to be carried, it must be carried where? On the shoulders of men. When they put it on the new cart, What happened? The Bible says David in 1 Chronicles said, this happened that Uzzah died. God made a bridge against us because we did not sort him in due order. There is a divine order. And the divine order is sacrifice. I told you, have you ever wondered why didn't Moses just apply wisdom? Why didn't he? Don't forget, many of you never thought this way. That do you know that Pharaoh was like Moses' father? He was his surrogate parent. He was a prince. He was trained in the palace. But the Bible says when he has come of age, Moses, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. But rather, he chose to suffer affliction with people of God. Because the Bible says he esteemed eternal reward a great recompense above earthly gains. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Look at it. Give me that Hebrews 11. Go to verse 24. Look at it. Verse 24. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Glory to God. As a glory to God. That's faith. So all these actions of these great people were recorded because they were relevant to the salvation plan. Hallelujah. Look at 37 of where we are. Verse 36, of Hebrews 11. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. And in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better things for us, that they without us should be what? Should be made perfect. So, the same way the world has a reference book, where they record the achievement of men, they call it Guinness Book of Record. In the same vein, God has a faith book, where he records people's deeds in faith relevant to the propagation of the gospel. Relevant to the propagation of the gospel. So we are in Christ to serve him. Look, you are not in Christ for yourself. You are in Christ for Christ with joy. Hallelujah. We are in Christ for Christ, not for ourselves. And one of the most brilliant ways that you can serve him is to serve the brethren. It is to serve the brethren. And let me show you this. Go to Matthew 25, 31. Give it to me. Matthew 25, verse 31. We're talking about greatness, right? Come on, talk to me. Greatness, right? Look at greatness in the kingdom. The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, say, come, ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, that means I was hungry. When I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. How many of you would have loved to feed Jesus? Like if you see Jesus on the street, you would love to feed him. You would love to give him water. Right? You would love to put him in a private jet. Come on, talk to me. I mean, if Jesus land now, boom, and you have private jets, you would like to fly and you say, ah, Jesus, I beg, no work out for road. I would like to, you know, I would like to write Uncle J. No dust, no leg, no work out for dust. But look at what it says. Go back to verse 35, 34. Why are you too fast? Then shall the king say unto them unto his right, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 35. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Now, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Because the righteous people will feel like, because it's like Jesus will be saying, enter into the joy of your Lord. I remember when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I had no house, I was destitute, you put me in. Then the righteous people will say, it's like he's writing our name in faith book of record for what we never did. Like, wait. I mean, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When? Verse 39. Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? Like, they are amazed that it's like you are accruing what we didn't do to us. Verse 40. Look at what it says. He says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. In other words, serving the brethren is serving the Lord Christ. And this is Bible. Look, this is a Bible passage on leadership. This is very clear. So greatness in God's kingdom is measured by service to our brothers in the kingdom. Go to Matthew 20 and verse 25. Matthew 20 and verse 25. Let me show you something there. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. Is that true? Come on, talk to me now. Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Come on, is that true? Do you know who I am? Very common statement in Abuja. And sometimes it can be responsible for a 2 hours hold up. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? So greatness in the world is how much of oppression you can oppress people. Yes. He says, you know how the princes of this world, that means you know how the great people in this world, you know how they do. They oppress people with their greatness. People measure greatness in the world by how many people you can control. But look at what he says. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. 26. But it shall not be so among you. Hallelujah. Greatness in the world. Alright. I saw a video last year? Alright. Of a particular serving governor. Alright. He wants to come out of his car. The guy in the front first come out. Then he went to open the car of another guy. That guy too came out. Went to open the car of another guy. Then that one that opened the car of another guy now came to open the car of the governor at the back. I said, He says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Let him be your minister. So greatness in kingdom is not measured by how many people serving you, but how many people are you serving? How many people are you serving? Look at it. In verse 27, he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. As in the kingdom of God, being, you know, chifo, senior man, all right, in the kingdom is about you being a servant, serving the Lord, serving the brethren. Verse 28, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the greatest form of service was salvation. Now, that also gives you the context of your service. That means your service will also be relevant to God to the degree in which it is relevant to the salvation plan. Because the hallmark of service, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, we're talking about greatness. And God is not telling us to do what himself does not do. Now, can I give you a rude shock here? When we get to heaven, in the New Jerusalem, many of you have seen Nollywood and you assume that Jesus is just going to sit down on his throne and then he will just watch us like that. Everybody will just be there. Let me give you a rude shock. What will happen? You'll be amazed. Let me give it to you. Open to the Bible, to the book of Luke 12:32. Today we're just reading the Bible, right? And that's good. Luke 12:32. Look at what it says. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to do what?" Come on, to do what? Verse 33. "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bag which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupted." That means don't be saving. Some people are just, saving money, all right, and grow old and die, and somebody else will spend the money. That's what Solomon says. Solomon says, "This life don't tire himself." He says, "All is vanity. You walk, save money, then you die." People that Solomon said, "You're not even sure whether it's a fool that you gave birth to that will spend the money." You know, I was watching one guy called Steve Harvey. I don't know if you know him. He's not a preacher. So, all right? But I like him. He said something. He said, his wife is Majory. He said, "Ato Majory." You know Steve Harvey show now? Some of you are acting as if it's the only church show you watch. All right. He said, "Ato Majory." By the way, he's a Christian, a professing Christian. Praise God. He says, "Ato Majory," that's his wife. "Ato my kids. Hey, me and your mama, we're going to spend 85% of our money before we die." "So don't you all guys start licking me like you can get something when we're gone." And it was actually, funny, interestingly, it was actually having T.D. Jakes on stage. So he now said, T.D. Jakes now says, "A lot of people don't know that it is not what you leave for your children that matters, but it is what you leave in them." You know what he said? "Thank you, because you just said that, I ain't leaving nothing for them anymore." Praise God. I said, praise God. You know, I told you I lived among some of the richest Southwestern people when I was growing up in our streets. So there was one guy. That guy, in their family, all of them, I remember then they were driving RAV4. We were small then. They were some of the big boys on the street and all that. You know what the dad did? Those children, they refused to go to school. They were just driving, all right? If you hear me, "Baby, don't cry." On the street, if he wants to hear, boom, boom, "Baby, don't cry. Try, keep your heels up. Even when the world is up, never give up. Baby, don't cry." They were riding their dad's car up and down, right? "That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. Oh yeah, I woke up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor, even worse, I'm black." You see them on the street making noise. You know when dad wanted to die, when the dad was going to ashe, the dad sold all his property and gave it to charity. I'm telling you true life. His name is TJ. It was my own NHIS card that he normally takes to the hospital, UCH, University College Hospital, Ibadan, to treat common malaria. I will have to give him mine because my dad, we're living in that room. My dad works with the federal government. So all of us, you know that time about Sanjona, that insurance, we had insurance, all of us, card with our names on it. So he goes there to impersonate me. That means he couldn't even afford a malaria drug for himself. The dad sold everything and gave it to charity. Say, "And your mother died, I die. Me, I work hard. You refuse to go to school. You refuse to work. They will be smoking hemp, walking up and down." You know what happened? Ta-da! When the man died, the lawyer just came to read the will. Say, "Well, everything has been, the people that will buy it have come. All the money, everything to charity." Praise God forevermore. He says, don't keep your money in the head where moth corrupts. I told you this before, that you can actually take your money to heaven. It's very simple. It's like if you are relocating to America right now, if you have 20 million naira in your account, if you take 20 million naira, Nigerian naira, to America, it's useless. You have to convert it to dollars so that you'll be able to spend that dollars there. That's the currency they spend there. Listen, where you are going after this physical death is eternity. They don't spend money there. But you can convert your money to things of eternal value that will be said of you in the afterlife. Use your money to support things of eternal value. Like evangelism, like salvation, like the propagation of the gospel. Support crusade. Support ministry that is given to the teaching of God's word. And I bet you, if you are putting your money in this ministry, it's on a good soil. I'm telling you. Because we are out there to propagate the gospel at all costs. Say loud amen. So that way, you are building for yourself, all right, treasures in the afterlife. Let's go on in verse 34. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He now says in verse 35, look at it. He says, let your loins be guarded about and your light burning. 36. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now look at what he says in 37. He now says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall guard himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and what? That means we see Jesus, we see our God as somebody who will serve us in the New Jerusalem. Oh, you didn't see that? I mean, that tells you that greatness in this kingdom is what? Service. That's the point I want to make in first service today. So when we're talking about faith book of records, all right, you have to understand that we are ambitious for a selfless cause. Our goal is to know him and to make him known. We are in him for him with joy. We are not in here for ourselves. Our sacrifices is to make his name known. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Our sacrifice, our work, our desire is to propagate the gospel. Let me ask you, let me close with this. Let me ask you a question. Think of one terminal disease that you know of that people are dying for. Let's say HIV. That people have not had solution to. And imagine if you had solution to it, and then you went to hide it. The whole world knows that you have the solution. Like, you have done laboratory work, you've prepared a solution that can cure cancer, that can cure HIV, all those diseases that don't have, medical science have not found solutions to yet. And the old world are now saying, Mr. XYZ in Nigeria has answers to HIV, but he's hiding it. It will be flooded, it will be on news, BBC, all right. What do you think the world will see you as? A good guy? Who? A wicked person, right? Now, let me tell you this. Look, you have in your hand the solution to the eternal damnation of other people. Listen, no matter how old somebody lives, there is such a thing as damnation after death. Eternal death. You have a solution to it, the gospel. So just to preach it, let them hear and believe and be saved, has become a hard work. You are more wicked than that narrative I just gave. You didn't get it. You are more wicked. Now, because when we talk about preach the gospel, reach out to people, you feel like, I beg, me, I don't get time. Listen, let me tell you, that's the big deal. The fact that you take courage to preach the gospel to people, because the Bible says, for it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, then Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. A preacher. That means God trusts you with the eternal destiny of other people. Hell is not a place you want even your worst enemy to go. And yet you have answer to cure them from that eternal death. But you are shy. But during answers, you were shouting it everywhere. Answers, answers, Sorosoke. If you were Sorosoke during the answers and you are not Sorosoke for Jesus, you already know that your problem is not that you are shy. Your problem is that you lack the sense of priority. That's the truth. What is happening to your Twitter account? What happened to your Facebook? And you want to play safe. You don't want other people to see you as being fanatic. What do you mean by being fanatic? Preach the gospel. Preach love. Be fire for God. Be fire. Be war. All right? Against the devil, but preach love. Say loud, amen. Tweet the gospel. Put it on Facebook. Put it on your WhatsApp status. Let people encounter you and encounter the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. These are to be great in God's kingdom. So, when we talk about being great for God, you have to understand that we're not talking about emotional greatness. We're not talking about selfish ambition. We're talking about ambition for a selfless cause. We are ambitious for a selfless cause. Say after me, say, I am ambitious for a selfless cause. Say, I am ambitious for a selfless cause. Say again, say, I am ambitious for a selfless cause. Say it again, say, I am ambitious for a selfless cause. And one of these is I'll do a teaching on confirmation and defense of the gospel. If you see the way the world is pushing their own earthly agenda with money. Do you know LGBT, for example, now they have a community in the United States and they have multi-billionaires. I was watching Trevor Noah's comedy. He was invited to one particular banquet where you have Joe Biden and the great guys. And one of the mayor of one of the states is a self-acclaimed LGBT community person. A friend of mine in Houston, she was telling me recently, she mentioned a particular great man, great in the sense of very rich, who was at the point of death and he willed his entire money to the propagation of that LGBT. So you can imagine how the world, all right, they are pushing their ideology with all that they have, with all their finances. What about you? Now, Mark Zuckerberg has given you a free space on your wall. It is not a war. Just for you to post John 3:16 in a day and put it, for God so loved the world, somebody will read it. It will inspire faith. Are you listening to me? After service, don't take selfie and put so church was hot. Church was not hot. When you post selfie, write it there what you were taught. Let somebody read and be edified. I'm not feeling edifying stuff on internet sometimes, all right? You see, post, all right? Take advantage. And listen, I'm using this as an example because this is what is available to us in our generation. We must take advantage of it. Charles Spurgeon will carry us, he will be on us back. And he will travel to cities on us back. The man cried at 86 that he could not preach for more than 6 hours. A man at 30 was pastoring 3,000. How many people were in the world that time? Oh, hallelujah. You have to be ready. If you want your name to be in God's faith book of records, you must be about souls. You must be about reaching out. You must have missionary mindset. Some of you are already thinking of leaving this country, and I'm not fighting with you about it. But to what end is your leaving the country going to support the salvation plan? Are you thinking that, okay, if I travel to Germany now, I'm going to reach out to the communist community. I'm going to try to change their ideology. I'm going to hold them in a coffee meeting. I'm going to discuss about God with them. Because if you go to countries like Germany, it's work. People are, average German person is doing well. The government is taking care of them. The things that you are praying for, government already provided for them. So that's why I say there are some Christians in Nigeria, when they leave, when they go to Europe, they are not longer Christians. They don't pray anymore. Because all their prayer in Nigeria was, God, do it, sharp, sharp, do it. And the things that you are praying for, they are things that a responsible government should make available for you. Do you know some people pray for light? God, let there be light today, oh God. Let there be light today, oh God. But do you know that in a developed country, it's irritating for you to pray for light? Light. I was telling some people, I said, my friend in New York was telling me that, Ami, you can tell yourself that this train, you will meet this train at 6:15 at the terminals. These are fast trains, not the locomotives on that. You can tell yourself that you'll be in a particular place at 6:15 a.m. every morning, and if you don't miss it, you will not miss that train. So some people express some level of faith in a system that is working. I mean, a friend of mine was telling me that to be a babysitter, you'll be earning £1,300 per month. I said, please hire me. Because this is Great Britain pounds. So the point I want to make is, you're traveling, fine, good, you're making plans, good, but to what point? Where is there a meeting point for God's salvation? Where is the plan of God in all of your plans? Some people in their plan, there's no God. Meanwhile, God must be the epicenter of your existence, because we live for Him. Don't forget, I will end with this. You are living the life of someone else. Look at it, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. One more scripture, then we close. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. Like the song says, for me to live is Christ. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Listen, you were not saved to live for yourself. The debt that was due you, somebody took your debt, gave you his own life, so that you can go and continue his own mission on earth. He has a mission. The Bible says in the book of Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and to save the lost. You were dead in sins and trespasses. He gave you forgiveness of sins. He gave you eternal life for a purpose. So now you are living someone else's life. We just judge that if one died and died for all, now that those who now live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but to him that died and gave his life to them. So now the only justice you can do right now is to live that life of another person given to you, by living out the intention, the purpose of the owner of that life. And his intention for mankind is to have all men saved. So while you are all about in your physical endeavor in life, you must understand that the epicenter, the fulcrum upon which all other hinges of doors of life that you are opening onto must rest, is the salvation of mankind. Salvation of mankind. God blessed you with money and you want to pick a house, and then you are saying, okay, I want a house with a big veranda. To what purpose? So that you can start a home sale and then you can use the veranda. Listen, some might see you as being luxurious, but guess what? There's a salvation plan to it. Someone is like, must I attach salvation to everything? Yes, so yes, 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 1,000 times yes. That's all you live for. That's all you live for. And this is greatness in God's kingdom. I want to challenge you today. Listen, the Christianity you are enjoying today, some people sacrifice their life to bring it to Africa. Ghana is 71% Christians. Bishop Dagi, what means was saying that, remember them because his mom is a Swiss. In Switzerland, all right, that's why in Ghana today they have cemetery. And all the people whose name is on each of those, what do you call that thing? Graveyard. They were all Swiss names, Swiss missionaries. who gave their life. Some of them left their enjoyment in America and came and became, like, for example, there's one man called Pa G Helton. Brought his family to come and live in Nigeria just to propagate the gospel. I know we have seen missionaries. There are churches, I don't know why, all right, these new generational churches, we don't talk about missions anymore. We must be missionary in our mindset. And let me even announce to you, when I say missionary, don't start thinking of village alone. Those guys that brought the gospel to us, from what we are reading about them, it's like they need the gospel now. New York, we will preach there. Abu Dhabi, we will host the topest floor there. We will preach there. Now they hear, we will go all those places. Germany, Europe, London, Atlanta. We'll take the gospel there. They need the gospel. You'll be amazed. Many of them don't know what the gospel is. America was built, all right, by men of faith. People who founded America. But what is happening there? They need the gospel. So when I'm talking about mission, I don't think of village alone. Of course, we'll go to village too, but we'll go to city too. All human beings are equal before God. Say loud amen. How many of you are going to village? Let me see your hands. You're going to go to village. All right, beautiful. How many of you are going to go to cities? New York. Praise God. Say after me, say, I pledge allegiance to the propagation of the gospel. So help me God. Father, we thank you for your word today. The entrance of your word, the Bible says, brings light and understanding to the simple. We pray, oh God, that the truth that we have heard today will bear in us fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.